This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
In part three of the digital rally, Diane speaks to Nicholas Russell and Billy Kay about the Digital Covenant and Pat Lee about the Alliance Party.
Hi there, folks. The team who are working with Site Admin for Scotland's National Covenant have asked me to deliver this, just a few minutes footage explaining the connection between Yesterday Scotland and the 500 miles walk and what is now in position as the Independence Covenant. My name is Nicholas Russell. I started the Yesterday Scotland media portal back in late summer 2015. Setting aside the result of the 2014 referendum completely, I was more focused on how the result was actually achieved. Specifically, we are citizens using centuries-old methodology. And the issuing of a 650-page white paper book, which most people had never even heard of, let alone read. So the Twitter feed was basically started to say there must be a better way that we can use technology to interface with democracy. I mean, I can go and ride my bicycle in 2015 and I can tell you within a square meter today where I was back then. So on that basis, there are surely better systems that can be used. So that's what started off as a community discussion with Yesterday Scotland that very quickly began to gain traction. And by the time we got to January 2016, the aspect of distributed ledger technology, aka blockchain, had entered the equation. And that's when it really began to accelerate. And it was a very interesting conversation. And at its peak, the Twitter portal was gaining 2 million hits a month. And I just kept on going and going. I'm just an ordinary citizen. I am not a politician. I'm voluntary for Scotland. I enjoy the subject matter and I enjoy thinking about Scotland's future and what it could do to improve life for fellow citizens. Back to the actual voting mechanisms of 2014, as we know, heading 30% of the votes were postal votes. So there were many discrepancies in that system, and UK Tories were able to talk openly on the night of the results, before the results were even issued, about what the postal votes were saying. So again, these systems are fundamentally wrong in this, the modern 21st century. So I became, by circumstance, Scotland's features writer on the subject of blockchain democracy. And I started, first of all, with the main Business for Scotland website. Fascinating project. The first article delivered for them, there was a team of six of us working on one article for 6 weeks. We knew we had to get that article right. And when it published, it went global viral. Groundbreaking, pioneering, full of aspiration and hope for the future. So that first article was a general article. I then went on to work with the Blockchain Technology Laboratory within Edinburgh University and delivered the academic bridge of understanding between what the professors are working with and what the general public can understand of what the future might be. And then we went on to deliver the first ever article on the subject in conjunction with one of Scotland's politicians, who was Martin Docherty Hughes, who subsequently then went on to become Scotland's blockchain leader in Westminster. Summer 2018, I was contacted by Dave Llewellyn, who is a very well-known independence supporter for Scotland. And he just said to me, there's a bunch of us who are full of admiration for the subject matter that you write about. And we're so enthused about it that we'd like to go out and actually walk 500 miles across Scotland, telling people about what you're talking about and what this can do for the future. To which I said, well, that's great. I'm coming with you. and that's how it started off. A bunch of us went out and we started Nile of Skye. Ian Blackford, Scotland's Westminster leader, very kindly opened the 500 miles walk. And over the next 3 weeks, we walked 500 miles together, and every single community we talked to across Scotland told us that if they were enabled with the capability to use blockchain democracy to help determine Scotland's future, that they would never stop in the drive to do that. So that's why we never stopped. And we finished that walk and got to work again. A lot of people, every single person deployed on the project has been working on a voluntary basis. My input specifically has been purely in relation to confirming that the blockchain systems are intact and that the signatures are being recorded as they should be, and they are. So you can see from our website, Yesterday Scotland WordPress, we've accumulated somewhere in the region of 100 articles tracking Scotland's progress over the years. I've delivered 80,000 tweets. I'll keep on going. That is my ultra niche subject matter, blockchain democracy. And every component of the independence covenant is absolutely intact where it should be. The data systems are working to flawless. The blockchain systems for recording signatures are certainly flawless. And there's a wonderful prospect ahead if everybody in Scotland can just simply grasp what the capabilities are. So all I can do is wish everyone all the very best for the future. Many thanks, folks. Over and out.
I'm Billy Key. Being brought up in what was the covenanting heartland of Ayrshire during the 17th century, signing national covenants for Scotland's weal comes easy to me. It also came easy to 2 million Scots who signed John McCormick's remarkable Scottish Covenant between 1949 and 1952. It was one of the first expressions of modern Scottish nationalism and was described accurately as a remarkable feat of consciousness raising. Now imagine if 2/3 of the electorate today was to sign the Scottish Digital Covenant, demanding our sovereign right to be an independent nation. It is coming yet for all that, but if we all sign the covenant, it might just come that wee bit sooner.
Welcome back, folks. Hope you're all having a great day today. We're now joined by a familiar face in the Yes Movement. I'm sure many of you all know him. It's Mr. Pat Lee. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi, Diane. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
No problem at all. We wanted to invite you here today to talk to you about one of the new political parties on the scene for the upcoming 2021 Scottish parliamentary elections. I know that you are part of the Alliance Independent Steering Group.
Hashtag Max the Yes.
Oh yes, definitely not forget your hashtag. We're trying to get that out everywhere just now, aren't we, Pat? So I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about the Alliance for Independence and the idea behind it, so that anybody that's joining the rally today can get a background to Alliance for Independence, or AFI as some are calling it. So Pat, with Alliance for Independence and the Independence for Scotland Party going head-to-head already in the competition to scoop these valuable regional list seats, and the attempt to game the dreaded The Haunt system at Holyrood, why should people throw their support behind the Alliance for Independence group?
Well, first of all, let me put something straight. It's not a competition here. In December last year, the general election result really got to me. And throughout the past couple of years, there's been this concept of putting a list-only party together. Everybody was talking the talk. Nobody was walking the walk. So on the 12th, I think it was the 12th, no, it was the 27th of December, I put up a post saying, let's stop talking the talk, let's walk the walk. And I put together what I called at the time the People's Party.
Now, okay,
that was to put up a single list party to be a voice for the whole of the Yes movement. Now, unknown to us at the time, the ISP had already put their idea in motion, and we're going for electoral commission recognition. And know about it. The difference between us and them is we had an idea and we put it, I put it out there. There were others with the same idea, likes of I for Independence, I Alliance in the Highlands. They contacted me and we came together and we've taken it. Our first meeting was in February, February 2nd or February 4th, and we had a number of yes groups represented from around the country at that inaugural meeting, and it was decided that we would try to put together a list party. So we, since that, we have, I can't speak about the ISP because we haven't spoke too much. They attended the meeting. They explained that they were in the process of electoral commission recognition to stand in the election.
Okay.
They're a party. They obviously accepted a constitution on behalf of themselves. And
okay,
we have gone through that process as well. The Alliance for Independence is now a fully constituted interim constitution, remember, because we will have a national conference whereby the membership will decide the actual constitution for moving forward, but we are maybe a week or two away from a proper launch.
And for Alliance for Independence, how will you develop your policies? I know you have some aims and you have a principle statement that's up on your Facebook page and anybody can have a look at that.
I've got it in front of me. If you don't mind, I'll read it out.
Yeah, that's fine.
The purpose of the Alliance for Independence, hashtag Max the Yes, is it's a ground floor grassroots alliance to maximise the number of pro-independence MSPs elected in the Scottish Parliament at Holyrood 2021. The concept was at the time, because we were talking about having a referendum, whether we have our IndyRef this year or not, we need to ensure that a stonking majority of pro-independence MSPs, representatives of the whole Yes movement, are elected to the Scottish Parliament at next year's at Holyrood's election. The idea is we want to ensure, and this is where we don't differ from the ISP because they won't be standing in the constituency either. We want to ensure that SNP stands unopposed in every constituency in 2021, backed by the whole Yes movement, to ensure that even potential indie voters who wouldn't normally vote for the SNP are encouraged to do so in every Scottish constituency in that election. We want to build a single alliance. This is where we differ. We want to build a single alliance of the smaller Yes parties, Yes groups, and Yes activist individuals to stand on the list across the regions of Scotland, preferably unopposed by the SNP, to maximise the number of pro-independence MSPs and minimise, more importantly, the number of unionists elected on the list. Because if we hold it in the RF2, or if we have Plan B, yeah, which is a massive majority of pro-independence MSPs and over 50% of the electorate support for independence, we can then go into negotiations for independence using the next election or the Westminster elections.
Okay, that actually brings me on to a question I have here for you, Pat, because there is a massive amount of talk amongst activists, bloggers, even some elected representatives at the moment about a Plan B. And I've noticed the hashtag Scottish UDI appearing across social networks. And there is a huge, huge call for this. It also feeds into the ideas behind the Digital Covenant and the Digital Assembly, and that the Section 30 order is not the route that we should be following. So how does the Alliance stack up on that?
Unfortunately, the SNP are the political arm, elected political arm of the Yes movement. And their route is that Plan A should be followed to fruition. But where that falls down is Boris. Boris simply has to say no. So we absolutely need a Plan B. As for UDI, a UDI will have to be declared at some point. But my view is that we need to prove to the outside world that we have more than 50% support. Now, we can use NDRF2, or we can use the election coming up to prove 50% or more. But we can only do that as a single unit, a single yes movement, backing the SNP on the constituency vote, letting them stand unopposed, because the polls are saying, and they have been correct to a certain extent, the polls are saying they will pick up 70 plus seats. Now, if they do that with the voting system, and it's the amended DAUNT system.
Yes, yes.
DAUNT. It's not yes. DAUNT.
Oh, it's not DAUNT. Sorry, it's I call it DAUNT. DAUNT.
DAUNT. The amended system means that the successful party in the constituencies will be penalised by up to 11 times division. There are 8 regional areas.
Yep.
With between 8 and 9 constituencies within them, or
that's right,
yeah. 10 constituencies within them. And the DAUNT system applies the number of 1 seats plus 1 to divide any vote picked up on the regional additional member system for additional members to the Scottish Parliament. We have 73 constituency seats and we have 56 additional member seats to allow for proportional representation. But the Yes movement have always been denied that voice within the additional member system because we haven't come together.
Yes.
If we come together, we have a potential to remove up to 34 pro-unionist MSPs who, remember, have been rejected at the constituency level. They've been rejected.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Political voting system, and they get a backdoor entrance to Parliament to simply sit in Parliament and talk down Scotland. The question that I would put on behalf of the Alliance for Independence, hashtag match the yes, is we can have a pro-majority government, or would you prefer a pro-majority parliament to support that government through either NDRF2 or through transition to independence? Or would you rather have up to 50 pro-unionist MPs sitting in our parliament while we negotiate our independence?
Yeah. So as the Alliance, obviously your job would be to support the SNP to get that independence. So would the Alliance for Independence, Max the Yes Party, put pressure on the SNP to put the ending of the union in their manifesto for 2021?
It doesn't require the SNP to have it in their manifesto. It requires us to have it. It requires us to have it. And our intentions are, we have 3 commitments to being in the Yes movement. And that is 1, to support independence.
Yep.
2, to support NDRF2 if required.
Okay.
And 3, to support the Scottish government of the time to deliver that within that first term.
Okay. So the Alliance for Independence, I mean, I know that some of you in the steering group, and I know that some of you have come across the Digital Covenant and the Assembly. Is that something that the Alliance for Independence would throw their weight behind to support in order to get that one place with that one voice to push the fight forward?
Most certainly. If, and this is a call out to the Yes movement, because I know that the Digital Covenant have been working really, really hard in the background in setting this whole thing up, this blockchain. I don't profess to be an expert on it, but I do know it is as safe a voting system as you will ever have on the planet today. So if the Yes movement actually engages with the Digital Covenant, we can do away with NDRF2.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Using that medium and that secure medium, it's world renowned. I believe it's Nigeria. There's a number of countries using it, New Zealand.
Yeah, also Estonia. Estonia run most of their entire governance off of it, from what I've heard.
So it's tried and tested. And I think that's the message that has to get put out here. The digital covenant is tried and tested and proved to be absolutely secure. And if we have any savvy, we could, if we get the engagement of the whole of the Yes Movement, and it's complementary to the Alliance for Independence hashtag Max the Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's absolutely complementary. So I would urge and implore the Yes Movement to get on board with us, because we can prove we have an absolute majority by the end of the year. If it is taken up.
Yes, and if nothing else, as we know, Nicola Sturgeon has always said that if she was to go for NDRF 2, she'd want to see that she had about 60% support. So we could give her that, ensure that. I mean, the Assembly itself is there to help us, give us a voice, isn't it? And it's there for everybody and anybody with any idea that they have on how they think we should function as a country after independence, how they think we could achieve it, with the areas that we need reform and how we can essentially rebuild the country. The idea behind it was to pull everybody in, get all those ideas in one place, and then develop those ideas together, rather than as it works at the minute, where there are certain fragmented groups that go off and have an idea, but their idea doesn't necessarily get through the noise of everybody else's ideas.
Very true.
In the Assembly, every single person has a voice. They can still choose to use it. You don't have to use it. But if you do choose to use it, you get it on that equal basis for each and every person, rather than whoever shouts the loudest gets heard, so to speak. Which, you know, I see that on social media platforms a lot. I'm good at shouting loud enough to get my point across, but I know that there's so many people that don't even engage, because they're scared of being shouted down by some of us who are extremely passionate and sometimes get a bit too keyboard warrior with it. So that was the idea behind it. I only learned about the Covenant and the Assembly idea in February. And I am also like you, I'm a complete technophobe. So it took so much work for me to get my head around. But I'd have to say the guys, like the tech team, were really, really good and really patient with explaining it to me. And so that's why now I've got my head around it. I'm like, this is the best idea we've ever had. And that's why I'm sitting speaking to you today, because I said to them, I'm happy to volunteer to help get this idea out and to explain it to people. It's easier for a technophobe to explain than it is for some of these guys that are so involved in the technicalities of it. They struggle to put it into everyday language.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I came from. So I'm really pleased about that, because this is kind of where I see I'm probably going to push the campaign for Indy now, is through the Assembly idea, because I like it. It's something I can align with fully, and it doesn't question anything, because it's basically accepting everything and allowing that diversity to flow.
It's absolute democracy.
Yes, direct democracy. I want to be able to have a say in what my council does. You know, directly, I want to be able to say, this doesn't work in our area. Whilst it might work in the city, I live rurally, this doesn't work for us. We want it done differently. Mm-hmm. And that, just so that everybody can get the help that they need. I mean, I know that you work and you volunteer within food banks and things. We've had these discussions amongst ourselves. I also work around that area. So we see firsthand on a daily basis the problems that people have.
Very much so. And COVID is the perfect example of why we need that voice, both within the Digital Covenant, but also within Parliament. We need our voices represented in Parliament to make that change.
Yes.
I know you guys have a different view that the assemblies then become superior to, correct me if I'm wrong, I may be wrong, the assemblies become superior to Parliament, but ultimately Parliament passes the laws right at this minute.
Yeah, that's, I think, how I see it, or how I see the Assembly working. I'm certainly sure this is how the team see the Assembly working, is that because you have one place where everyone communicates together, we can have much clearer ideas in order to instruct our government to implement the policies that we want, rather than how it sits at the moment, it tends to be that, you know, the party of power like the SNP, they direct the narrative. They tell us what policies that we want. And then we look at them and we choose them. But in actual fact, it should be that we drive the policy by saying, these are where the problems are. We need to prioritise this as a policy. We can then feed into that policy. We can then put that policy straight to them. We can do all these things ourselves and then put it to them and instruct them to implement it. I mean, from my, I suppose my belief is that that's what democracy is. That is you telling them what you want and getting them to implement it, rather than the way I see it at the moment. We work, whilst we're told we live in the oldest democracy in the world, we actually are quite anti-democratic because we work from a top-down system. We allow our governments to tell us our policy, and it should be the other way around. And that's the reform, I think, that we all need. That's how all countries should function. Policy should be driven by the people. It shouldn't be driven by the politicians. Yes, and
we shouldn't simply be listening to the rhetoric that we live in a democracy, because we don't.
Exactly.
Is it autocracy? It's from the top, and they decide, they look for our support to be elected.
Yes.
Saying that they will listen to the people.
Yes.
And then they get into power, and this is all political parties.
I agree with you, Pat. Yeah.
What I hope the Alliance for Independence will achieve is that bottom up, because we have an interim steering group, and we have interim regional organisers. We have an interim co-chair, co-conveners. We have an interim financial finance officer. We have an interim secretary. At conference, the membership, those who join and take up the right to vote within the Alliance for Independence, hashtag Max the Yes, they will decide what the structure will be, how the vetting system, the selection system, and who will be their candidates locally.
Yes.
It won't be anyone parachuted in.
Yeah, so it's ultimately the grassroots decision. So it's the grassroots that need to pick up the ball with this and run with it and start saying, this is what we want in our area, this is who we want to represent us.
You've got to remember, it's the grassroots who will deliver independence.
Yeah.
No political party, not one, as we've seen. SNP are quadruple mandated, and
yes,
now they're going for a fifth mandate. Part of the reason for that is since 2015, they've never commanded 50% of the electorate.
Yeah.
If we as a movement come together, we can absolutely prove it. And using the Digital Covenant as a means of expressing that political will of the people, we have well over 60% of the support. We just have to prove it. I wholeheartedly stand behind the Digital Covenant as a means to prove that.
Perfect. There's one more question. Well, there's two more questions I want to ask you, and one just comes off the back of what you've just said there. Is there a way that people can join AFI at the moment? Is there a membership structure in place, or is that still being developed?
There is an interim membership. Everything's interim until we get a national conference. There's an interim membership. We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And it's the Alliance for Independence, hashtag Max the Yes.
Yeah,
you simply join. But to join, we ask you to answer three questions. Now, we're being very strict on this. If we don't get the answers, because some people might invite people and they don't know about it, we won't accept them. We need them to engage.
Yeah, okay.
If they engage and answer the three questions, they can take up membership of the page, and we will transfer that on once we launch proper to our website and Twitter feeds and all the machinations of social media.
Yes.
Because that's the main means that we have now, apart from the national. They have been really quite accommodating. In February, when we started the initial movement,
yeah,
they accepted comments, letters, and support or not.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I threw my support behind that myself. Yeah.
But caveat to that is it is not a platform to berate any of our fellow activists, and that includes the SNP.
Yes, yes.
We get nothing divided. We win everything united. We stand united, we win this, and we deliver it. And yes, that's the key. We have the means. We have the opportunity. Now yep, we need to put the effort in and make it happen. And yep, we hope to be a part of delivering that.
Perfect. Yeah, I just
Alliance for Independence, hashtag Maxi Yes. I'm not going to...
I agree with you. I mean, we're very lucky in that we have some really, really proactive, talented activists that have provided us with all the tools that we need now. We just need to use them. So we just need to stand up and use them. Finally, whilst you said there, we don't want division, my last question does relate slightly to that, and it's the big question of the EU. Now, of course, the SNP are standing on the automatic re-entry to the EU based on the 62% vote returned. Well, I think it's based on the 62% vote returned in 2016. ISP have mentioned EFTA in their policies, but I don't know how set in stone that is at the moment. What is AFI's take on the EU? How would AFI push the EU as a priority if they were elected to the Scottish Parliament?
Well, again, we haven't had a national conference, so this is not set in stone either. But my personal view and that of a number of members within the Alliance for Independence, hashtag MaxTheYes, is that the question of membership of the European Union is a question for after independence. It's a question for after independence because when we become independent, we will be out of the EU.
Yes, that's a given. Yes.
That's been stated through the referendum campaign of 2012-14. And that nothing has changed because we are still part of the UK. After independence, all that changes. Because
of course,
we can then put that question to the people, uninhibited by the UK government.
Yes, of course.
So that's where I stand personally. It is for the Alliance to take a political stance if they wish to. But I'm with you. I mean, EFTA would be perfect for us. We could join the Nordic nations.
We could have a
collaboration with the Nordic nations and Ireland. We could have a collaboration with the Celtic nations. It's very simple. The choices become ours when we have independence.
Absolutely. And Scotland out with the UK and the EU question is a totally different question as well to Scotland responding to that question as a part of the UK. You know, there are differences there. Like, I know
The difference is Scotland doesn't have a say as part of the UK.
Yeah. That's it, exactly. And that Brexit referendum highlighted that fantastically. But there's other things that need to come into play there. Like, for example, I'll give you my personal take. So I voted to remain in the EU because I felt that Scotland, as a part of the UK, needed the protections of the EU. Because I was concerned if we were removed from the EU, that the UK government would have had way too much of an open ticket to just do whatever they wanted. Scotland, as an independent country within the EU, I'm not sold on that at all. I want to have the debate. I want to see all the different options. I want to see the EFTAs on the table. I want to see how all those things would stack up for Scotland on its own as a country. I don't know if I would vote to remain in the EU now if Scotland was indie, but I voted it in 2016 because I saw it as being an important part of us being a part of the UK. So, of course, my take on that has changed massively, as have many's. I suppose I'm looking at it as that if we were to just get our independence and automatically go back into the EU, I don't see that as being democratic because we need to be asked that question.
But the honest truth to that is that won't happen. because we cannot automatically go in. We would be removed from both the EU and the UK, and we would have to reapply. So it's a misnomer. It's just not true that we would have automatic acceptance. We would have to reply. Now, there are many who say that the EU would be more than happy to welcome us back. But
yes,
we still have to apply.
Yes, of course.
And if we have to apply, then it goes straight to the jux of the position that we have to ask the people.
Yes.
Now, I'm the opposite from yourself. I voted to leave. Not on racist and bigoted merits of the UK or the UK government, which intimidated the media speak for a no vote and lied through its teeth, basically, but because of socialist values. Europe is a big businessman's club, and the first two rules to join Europe is you must have the free market, you must support the free market, and you must open up your markets to Europe. That doesn't happen across Europe. UK had the veto on any regulation that came through and never used it.
Yeah.
That's where we are. But the point is, we would be out of both.
Yes.
It would then bring it back to the people of Scotland. And I agree with you now on the EFTA view. We can still have a relationship, and we must have a relationship with Europe.
Yeah.
In this capitalist society, we have to trade, and we have to trade.
Of course. Equally. Yeah.
But on that basis, I would support EFTA.
Yeah. So the Alliance for Independence would support another EU referendum for Scotland then?
No, I can't speak on behalf of the Alliance on that.
Just yourself. Okay. So there's no decision on that yet from the Alliance?
There's no decision because we haven't had conference and we haven't finalised the constitution on those matters.
So that'll be down to the people again?
That will be democratically decided by conference and the full membership.
Okay, so essentially what you're saying is the Alliance for Independence, everything is still up for grabs. If people want to influence what you do, then they need to come to your conference when it's announced. They need to put your ideas through your Facebook page, come to the conference when it's announced, and vote on what it is that they want to get what they want.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
It's open democracy. It's open democracy. We'll all have our views. We'll all put them forward. And then the floor will decide what we will do.
Great. So when's the conference then, Pat?
Well, lockdown is permitting. We hope to have it in September.
Okay, great.
We were going to have it the end of June.
Yeah.
COVID came in, so we're thinking July, August, but it's now more likely to be September. But
great.
I implore anybody that wants to see a free Scotland to join the Alliance for Independence and help us to shape the way forward for that platform. That platform is open to all, including the ISP.
Yeah.
Because there is the argument that we may split the list vote if there is more than one pro-independence party standing, but then where was it? Multiple parties.
Yes.
That then would apply to the unionists, because that's where they pick up most of their seats. And there are three, four of them, he's determined, they manage to compete for their vote.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with competition.
No, not at all.
But we would prefer a single unitary party, to maximise the yes vote.
Yes.
And maximise the pro-independence representation at Holyrood on behalf of the people and the Yes Movement.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for that, Pat, and thanks very much for coming on to chat to me. That's been really interesting. You've given loads of information for people out there. Hopefully they will now be directed to your Facebook page and they'll have a look at what you're doing and they'll join your conference and they'll fight for what they can through that medium. And so I want to wish, before you go, Pat, I want to wish you good luck with everything. And I've no doubt that as soon as we're back out there rallying and marching again, we'll see face to face and we can catch up on it then.
Thank you very much, Dan. And again, please come and join us. It's the Alliance for Independence, hashtag MaxTheYes.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Okay,
thank
see you,
Dan.
Later.
Bye.
Bye. So now I'm joined by Ryan Allen. He volunteered to come and speak to us today and give us a more personal perspective on activism within the independence movement. As a fellow volunteer with the Digital Covenant, Brian and I have met and chatted before and also through meetings and things at iAberdeen. So welcome, Brian.
Hello, nice to be here.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. So, Brian, first of all, could you tell us, why did you decide to become an activist for Scottish independence?
Well, I suppose the main thing I would say is that that's what most normal countries are like. Most normal countries are independent, and I don't see why Scotland can't be the same. But as far back as I can remember, I always thought that being independent was a normal thing. And I always felt uneasy at school and stuff like that when we were getting taught history and such like. There was always like an uneasy feeling that we weren't getting the truth, and also that things that you did hear didn't match up, you know?
Did you get that from your parents as well? Had they taught you about Scottish history and Scottish traditions through your lifestyle or culture in any way that you could make that different comparison? Or you just didn't see it for what it was?
Very little. They were kind of Labour stalwarts, if you like.
Okay.
Never really got involved with much, never got involved with community or whatever. And I was kind of like that myself for quite a long time, until I got a bit older.
And, okay.
I never really did anything about independence or didn't really listen to the news that much either. It was an uneasy feeling that you weren't getting told the truth anyway, so why bother?
You know? Yes, yes. So yes, okay.
Eventually, when the referendum came,
yes,
just voted SNP and that was it. And I was really, really disappointed that we didn't get it because I thought it was in the bag.
Do you mean the referendum in 2014, the yes, no vote? And did you campaign in the up running to that one?
No, I never did anything. That's why I was really annoyed at myself. So I didn't do anything for that whatsoever.
But okay.
I followed the news and then I reckoned, oh, it's in the bag. And then the vow came out with the Daily Record.
Yeah.
And that swayed everything because pretty much I thought we had it. And it kind of opened my eyes that we didn't get told the truth for our politicians, but also the newspapers were in collusion with them. And that we were kind of not getting the truth about anything. And so I decided that I'd start getting involved. Now, I didn't really get involved directly in politics. I got more involved with the community.
Okay.
Did a lot of work with community centres for a while. And, you know, I've never really been politically motivated. And I never really felt, this probably come from my mum and dad, that politics was a waste of time.
Okay,
But then I came to realise that politics is actually everything.
Yes.
So once I started to do that, I started to look around and I came across some of the Commonweal information. And I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And I looked to see if there was a group in Aberdeen. There had been a group, but it was just basically a space on Facebook and they weren't doing anything. So I kind of just left that.
Okay.
After a wee while, I joined the SNP, went along to some of their meetings. Did a wee bit of work for them. I had problems with my back and my legs at the time, so I couldn't go door knocking, but I could use the laptop. So I was doing some stuff from there in the background. But I never really bought into it. I didn't feel inspired by what they were doing. And
I can relate to that. I can definitely relate to that, yeah.
The main reason I joined with them was to get the information of what was really going on, try and get a feel for it. But that didn't happen either. So the educational aspect didn't come through. But maybe I didn't put myself forward enough for that because I'm relatively quite a shy guy, really, you know, up until recently.
Yeah, would you believe I've been a bit the same?
the pressure, I feel there's the pressure on to try and get something done. I didn't really feel guilty that I didn't do anything in 2014, but I feel I really need to do something now. You know, it's like a sense of duty now that I need to really get involved. So I got involved with a few groups in Aberdeen. Commonweal was kind of in abeyance because nothing was happening there. So I went along to iAberdeen, and I found them much more collegiate, if you like. They were much more people to get friendly with and stuff like that. And maybe they had a wee bit more of a social thing going as well, you know. So
yeah, that's true. They had a great bunch at iAberdeen. I would definitely give them a shout out because, as you know, I'm also a member. So yeah, we've done things together. I've helped on the stall before, and I don't make it in a lot because it's far away. But yeah, it is a really good group.
Well, I'm on the south end of Aberdeen, and I started helping them out with the stall and helping out with the meetings. So it really a great bunch of guys, like you say, and. You know, they're not stupid with it either. They're really good at sharing their information and very friendly and welcoming people in, you know. So they are a good bunch.
Yeah.
I also started to get involved with a group in Aberdeen. It's like, I think it started off by the SDUC. So it's a part of that. So it's a unions and other
activists. Oh, the trade union.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a trade union. And the other activists, if you like, people who are more active. So I started to get involved with that and going along to some of their meetings. Now, iAberdeen are part of that as well now, and so are Commonweal. So it's been a case of trying to bring everybody together.
Yes.
And make a big movement and make a big noise in Aberdeen. We can start to get the council to listen to us. That's part of the idea from that, you know. So it's working really well, and it was going really, really well until COVID started. Yes.
And the lockdown. And
so that they had a meeting space, rooms for everybody to come along and do their activism, if you like. There was books there, dividing your knowledge about the history of politics. Really a lot of good information there, and not just in this country, across the globe.
Yeah.
So it was a really good way to learn things. And lots of passionate people there. And then lots of other groups coming in. And many of the groups are environmentalists as well. And for me, that's always been very important. In fact, that was more important to me than separating from England. That was never that big an issue until after 2014, when I saw how they behave. And I think paying attention to Westminster and how they do things, really, we need to get moving forward and get away from that. There's no way we're going to make headway with that shower behind us. So we really need to break away now, I think. But more important for me is the environment and making sure that we leave a space for our grandchildren that they can use.
Yes. Because
otherwise we're in big.
Well, let's face it, the whole purpose is the future, of course, isn't it? So that brings me down to, I may already know the answer to this question, but what is it that you think is the most important issue facing Scotland today? So if you take everything into account, what is the most important thing?
Well, I suppose really what it all boils down to is democracy and having a proper say, because I think if everybody had a proper say, people realise that we're in trouble, that we have to sort out the environmental issues. And we need to make headway with that. And I think if we had a proper democracy, we'd be able to push forward. Scotland could take the lead and, in a sense, show much of the rest of the world how to behave and get moving with it. And I think there's a great opportunity here. In a sense, although COVID is quite nasty, and it's really disrupted things, and it's making people take a look at what they're doing, how they're living.
Yeah.
I've always said that in the back of my mind, that we weren't living properly. We couldn't really keep just using things and throwing things away. But
yes, this disposable society that we've become, it's been a massive, actually, especially over the last 10 years, the consumerism and the waste is massive, isn't it?
So much of my work locally was about trying to reduce waste and start to bring in a circular economy on the south side of Aberdeen. So that was part of the things that we're doing. Things like men's sheds and stuff like that, so that they're using old stuff, bringing it to new. Colin Wheel is talking a lot about that. But the real issue is democracy, because it's you can have all these views and wants,
yes.
but if you can't sway the politicians through proper democratic process, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
That's where I think the digital covenant really works. I think that's a beautiful way to be able to go and get our democratic say.
Yeah.
And the main thing there, though, is to have the information that's associated with the decision makings that you make is true and proper and recorded.
Yes, yes, yes. But
we're not dealing with fake news anymore, because that's yes. only going to get worse and worse and worse. And of course, the more money you have, the more fake news you can generate and push out there.
Yes.
So it's about democratic and fairness and equality.
That's yes.
These things are very important to me.
Yes, so and me, sorry, carry on.
Well, so from a democratic point of view, we really need to try and push ahead, get the covenant signed, join up to the assembly as soon as possible, have your say, or at least make sure your say is heard there.
Yes.
Start to do with politics in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting concept, of course, and it does come back to the democracy idea, doesn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, true democracy is the people instructing. So the only way that we can instruct is if we all get together and build the policies that we want to see together and then present them and say, this is what we want. This is what we've decided. But to have everyone in one place doing that, you know, it's all very well to say, oh, but we vote and we vote for political parties. But that's where the division comes in, because people then choose a party for the policy they like, or as we know in Scotland, it's basically a party for union and party for not. And it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be about that. It should be about what we want to see in our communities, how we want to see our country function. And we have loads of people out there that have all these ideas. And like we have Mike Fenwick talking about circular at the Yes Economy and how we can build on that. And he's looking at experimenting with that. And we have people looking at various different constitutions. I haven't even read them, but they're all focused on the people. We are actively doing this ourselves, but we need more people to join us, because we can't decide alone. It has to be a collective. The whole country has to decide. And having that space, having that digital assembly where we can all communicate and documents can be uploaded and we can all make amendments to them and everybody can, and we can all see where polarized views will then become much more compromised the more people that come into the mix and the more people that communicate with it. It's a brilliant tool that's been built for us to use, and I'm really excited about it. But yeah,
there's two aspects there that I find really important, and one of them is the speed, because I don't think we have that much time left to be able to stop the globe getting too warm and getting that runaway effect. We've only got probably less than 10 years now, you know. I don't know if you hear, you know, the David Bowie song, 7 years. That's all we've got.
Yeah.
It's going to be very appropriate soon. I'll be playing a lot. I don't know. In 5 years. So anyway, the speed of moving forward, and I think the digital covenant will do that for us. Once we get the assembly moving, then we can be using our phones to vote. And we can vote really quickly. It'll be less costly to do for the nation, but also it'll speed up things. So if there's a specific issue, like they did in Ireland with the
I'm not sure what you're referring to. Sorry, Brian.
I'll find it later and give you a shout. But anyway, there's something they did in Ireland. So they did a referendum on it, specifically just for one point, and that seemed to go okay. Now, there's no reason why we can't do specific reasons, issues, and just focus on specific issues and do a referendum on that. But it's too costly and it's too unwieldy the way it is now. But with the digital covenant and on your phone, the digital covenant, once all of that work has been completed, it opens up to a future where you just vote on your phone.
Yeah.
And it opens up access to lots and lots of people who wouldn't normally get involved in politics.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a few minutes at night, do you go along to the polling station?
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know? If you don't know the right arguments.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. I think our politics is framed too much around the structures that we currently have. Politics is every day. It's how the schools function. It's how the community services are. It's your transport. It's your infrastructure. It's the things that we use every day that many people complain about every day. But by having an assembly and achieving those 3 million signatures, it can engage that whole host of people that don't vote. I mean, I think in 2014 referendum, it was 800,000 people in Scotland who didn't vote. That is, you know, almost a quarter of eligible voters or something like that. I'm calculating quickly in my head here. I could be wrong. But do you know what? That's a significant chunk of people that aren't engaging. And they aren't engaging because they're not interested in the left and the right, in the Tory versus the SNP or whatever else. They're interested in having their communities, their countries and their services run right. You know, they're interested in having security. They're interested in having good lifestyles. And the only people that can instruct how that can be done are the people themselves. If they don't come and say what they want, how do we know what they want? So what essentially the Covenant is saying, isn't it, is, you know, tell us what you want. Bring us your ideas.
Right. But a lot of politicians, they don't want to know what they want. They want to do what they want.
Yes.
And for certain, you know, for the Tories especially, they don't want everybody to vote because they know that people that are missing are the ones that are likely not going to vote for them. You know? So it's in their, it's to their benefit that not everybody votes. And this is one way the Covenant will help with that as well.
Yeah.
It's the easier process that's really important. And, you know, this is all important for me. And the reason I really got involved in the very first place is because I want a place that's safe and better and more democratic, more equal. All of these things, I want that better for my kids and for your kids and people who are going to follow. And I want a globe that's not going to burn up, you know, become a desert.
Yeah.
The thing about the Digital Covenant was, when I first looked at it, I kind of thought, you know, this could easily look like a scam, you know? So I didn't just leave it. I normally would just leave things like that, but I was interested in it. I thought it had great value. So what I did is I started to go online and have a look and try and find out about these different things that I'd never, ever heard about before, like blockchain. Distributed ledgers and all that kind of thing. Now, once I went on there, it didn't look that far out. It was easy enough to understand. It just took a bit of time and a bit of just prodding. And I started to speak to the guys that were involved. And now I fully trust that what they're doing is a splendid thing. Actually, Scotland can be really proud of these guys.
Oh, they should be, massively.
Because they're taking the lead in this. And again, there you go, Scotland, that too poor, too wee, too stupid, that country is now leading the globe in these kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's time that we really moved on, got our independence, and started to push forward to make this world a better place.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. But build the world you want to see, essentially. Yeah. Perfect. Listen, I think we're just running out of time, Brian, but thank you so much for chatting and giving us your perspective. It's been really interesting learning about all the different campaigns you've been involved in and all your different activism and your priorities. And it's great to give that perspective. I'm sure there are lots of other people out there in the movement that 100% agree with you. But thanks for joining us, and I'll no doubt chat to you soon.
Thank you very much.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
And in life, dot radio.